Erev Shabbos, Parshas Dvarim, Shabbos Chazon, certainly a very powerful time of year. Obviously, the destruction, but also the hope for the future. Shabbos Chazon, as the Shabbos is referred to based on the words of the Navi Yeshayahu, Chazon Yeshayahu is a vision. As devastating as the destruction is that is being described in this Haftorah, Lamaisa, the end of the Haftorah discusses that there will be a geula. That it's a chazon, it's a vision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically telling us that as bad as things are between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as bad as our averus were, there's a vision, there's a hope, there's a future. So much so, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Gemara that I've mentioned recently, that the Gemara Nazir tells us that a person who says, I'll be a Nazir on the day that Ben David ba, he's chayav to be a Nazir, because Ben David could come at any time. Yeshua Hashem Keref Ayin. And we cannot forget that. We're waiting. It's not just the Shabbos Chazon, which of course introduces, and this Shabbos, of course, it is Tisha B'Av. It introduces and prepares us for Tisha B'Av. It's not merely a description of destruction. It's also a description of hope. I heard recently, I didn't get the source yet, but I heard recently that the tears of a Yid, the tears of a Yid is what Moshe Rabbeinu, when Basi Paro heard the tears of Moshe, she knew it was the tears of a Yid. The tears of a Yid are different. The tears of a Jew is for hope for the future. It's not just total devastation without any hope. No, the Jew cries for the future. A Jew cries out of hope. Also, in Koheles, when it says Ace of Kos, it's talking about, Rashi tells us, it's talking about Tisha B'Av. That we don't just cry Stam, we cry for Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is a form of crying for hope for the future, and not merely a matter of destruction. The Rabbi Malach Biderman brings a mashal from the Tzemach Tzedek, that there was once a king who had a son that he loved very much, and he made him a beautiful garment. And he told the young child to take good care of the garment, and unfortunately the child was not able to care for this special garment, and it became torn and tattered after a certain amount of time. So the king decided he'll fix it for him, so he sewed it himself, and he made it beautiful again, and he sewed him a new garment. And again, the young boy soiled the garment, he ripped it, tattered. And this time the father said, you know what, that's it. I'm not going to give him a new garment again. But instead, he wanted to show him, he wanted to give him something to strive for, something to hope for. So what did he do? He made, again, the most magnificent garment, but he put it in a place where the child couldn't see. And every so often, he'd take his son and say, look, when you fix your ways, you'll be able to be zoicha to wear that garment. That's the mashal. The nimshal is obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, Klal Yisrael, I'm building a house for my Shechina to reside with you in this world. But the first two times didn't work out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen guys, you can do it. I'm showing this to you. And there it is. It's Muchan. There's a base for Migdash of Eish that's in the Shemayim waiting for us. And every year we come around to Shabbos Chazon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us in and says, look what I'm willing to do for you. Tzion b'mishpat yipadav shaveh b'tzedakah. I want to bring the Ula. All you have to do is fix yourself and prepare yourself to be able to properly care for my Shechina and for my glory to come down to be with you. And that's what we're striving for. We're not just mourning over the destruction. We're also yearning for the coming of Mashiach and Kavod Shemayim and the Geula, which will only come after we mend our ways properly. Now the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tesam Beis tells us, Rishjoinim Shnizgala Avonim Nizgala Kitzam. The Chuburna Bayis HaRishon, where their averus were revealed. Now the Rashi tells us is talking about the fact that they sinned openly, okay, and so therefore their end was made known. Yirmiyahu prophesied that 70 years later the Beis Hamikdash would be rebuilt. However, Achronim Shalonis Gal Avonim, that their averus were not revealed, which means they did it. Says Rashi, they did it bit sinna. But to make the sheni rishom hayu b'seiser, they're wicked in hiding. So then lo nisgal kitzam, there was no revelation of the end of the churban. This is also a reference to the Gemara earlier. The Gemara earlier says the first piece of Mikdash was destroyed because of the big three, which is avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shvi'ah chasadim. And but the Mikdash sheni was because of sinas chinam. And the Gemara told us, Lamdecha Sheshkula Sinas Chirim Kineged Shalosh Averos, that the Avera of Sinas Chirim is Ik 3. So the Yaros Dvash asks the following question. What's the Pshat? Why is it that because the sins of the first base of Migdash, which were revealed, which were open, therefore the Kates was not only revealed, but also soon afterwards. However, the Avera of Sinas Chinam, the Avera of the second base of Migdash, was considered to be so bad that there was no revelation of the rebuilding of the third base of Migdash. He says the obvious reason should have been, the reason why it wasn't revealed, nor was it a short time between the second Churban and the rebuilding of the third base of Migdash, was simply because there were no Nevi'im anymore. That's why after the first base of Migdash, they knew how fast and how soon it was going to be. Nothing to do with the fact that it was there were averus that were done more in a more secret fashion. And the Yaros Vash explains about the first base Hamikdash, that he certainly, it was clear that they were over on the Gimel Averos Chamuros. And they recognized their Averos. And they knew that caused the Churban. Nothing to do with the Nevi'im, yes, Nevi'im, no. No, the Pshat is that they understood that they had a problem and they fixed the problem. That's why there was an end to their Golos after 70 years. However, by Esheni, when the Aver was Sinas Chinom, they haven't yet returned. They have not yet done tshuva on that. And until now, they're still hanging on to this tumah of Sinas Chinam. And even though it looks as though people are nice to each other on the outside, lemaisa, there's something terribly wrong inside. And this this certainly causes more tzar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know the muscle that a parent is, if his kids are not getting along, it bothers him tremendously and terribly. And that's the pshat by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because it's somewhat subtle, but yet even though it's subtle and it's unknown, it's sort of internal, and it's not so open, that's why the punishment is so severe, and that's why it's harder to do tshuva, and that's why we're still suffering, and we're still not seeing the bias shlishi as of yet. And as long as the reason why the churban happened is not yet fixed, it's impossible to have the healing and the refuah and the binyan bias shlishi. Ramayach Biederman brings a story about a young man in Brooklyn that... I thought that Rav Osner is a Rav in Brooklyn, but I'm not sure. It says it happened to be somebody in America, but I'm not 100% sure where, or a child had somebody had a baby. And after 4 months, the baby had some sort of terrible smell. They couldn't figure out what's shot with the smell. And they went to many different doctors, and nobody could figure out. So the Rav of the shul, Rav Yosef Tzivosner, said, you know what, go to my father, go to Eretz Yisrael, to Bnei Brak, to my father, Rav Shmuel Vosner Zatzal. And they went to him, the father and the grandfather, and they were talking about their issue. And he asked, so he said, is there anything unique about this child? The Rav said, anything I need to know? So the father of the baby said, you know what, even though apparently the minhag in their circles was that the first boy who's born is supposed to be named from the mother's side, the young father said, I have a very bad relationship with my father-in-law, and because he's a very, very tough person, he's very difficult to deal with, and I decided I didn't want to name anybody from his family, so I decided to only name from my family. I named his name was Yaakov, it doesn't say what his name was, but you know, I named him for my family, and that's it. I didn't follow the general minhag, the general practice of naming him after my father's side. And Ravaz right away says, "What do you mean? That's the issue. The issue is that when it comes to not going above and beyond, and not working on oneself and being on the chavero, then very bad things can happen. And it's certainly the issue. And go now and call him and be mephias him, go appease him and make him feel good and make amends with your father-in-law." And the man said, yeah? He said, yeah, of course, right now. Do it right now. And sure enough, he called him up and he appeased him. He also even added a name from the mother's side, which is from his father-in-law's side. And again, they didn't bring the baby with them. They came back, it says here in the Malach Biederman, they came back to Kennedy Airport, and they found out that the smell had gone away. You see, from here, says the Malach Biederman from this story, that when it comes to Ben Omel Chavero, making people feel bad and not doing the right thing, Ben Omel Chavero, it can have tremendously negative effects and tremendous negative results. He writes that Rav Shlonko of Zvil writes, all Averos, all harsh Averos between man and man are paid to a person in this world. And this is when sorrows come. And he quotes the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe once came to a city and they offered him the Chayim, and he won. And he said, "Beruach Kodesh." This is a scary, the famous story, that when a Jew stabs another Jew with his mouth, then it causes that a goy can, Rachmana Litzlan, stab a Jew with a sword. And it turned out afterwards that unfortunately, apparently, a Jew was stabbed by a goy exactly at that moment. But you see here the intensity and the punishment of things that are Ben Chavero, and that says the Aros Dvash. Going back to what we said originally. And the Aros Dvash says that that's pshat, that the averos that were done by Churban HaBayis HaRishon, the reason why it was able to be rectified is because it was open and it was fixable and it was known what to fix. But by us, where the averos been on the chavero, and a lot of it's sinas chinam, which is very much internal. So since the averos is not so apparent, we think we're doing fine. We think, yeah, we're nice to the guys. Yeah, but it's misefa luchot, it's superficial. Unless internally we mamish feel love for our fellow Jew, we're still not there yet. And which reminds me of, we learned recently in Shar HaChazarios, in Orchot Tzadikim, how important it is to mamish feel the pain, and actually not just the pain. It's easier to feel the pain of another Jew, because then we feel better about ourselves, because we're not going through the pain. But to be happy for other Jews, to be happy, and not to be we shouldn't be, right, I'm sorry, it's not a Shara Achzor, it's a Shara Simcha, right? Oftentimes, the very negative form of Simcha is to be happy when somebody else falls, right? And to a certain degree, it's certain levels of insecurity, that we feel better in our Ruchnias, or in our Gashmias, if somebody else is not doing as well. But it should be the exact opposite. If we're really a team player, if we're truly a team player and our whole focus is honoring the name of Hashem, so then we are upset when somebody else is not doing well in his business. We're upset when somebody else is not doing well in his ruchnias. And the only thing that makes us happy is when our teammate does something great for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our teammate is doing well in other areas of life. And that's something that we all need to work on. And it's something that the Gemara is telling us. Unless we rectify this situation, we will not be able to see the already built Beis Hamikdash of Eish come down from Shemayim. I also saw a beautiful drash from Reich Biederman in the name of the Imre Noam. It says in this week's parasha, Eicha Ese Levadi, Tarchem Ma'asachem Rivchem. It's too hard for me, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to take care of Bnei Yisrael. How can I do it alone, says Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Imre Noam like this. He says, Eicha Shemoshe Rabbeinu Amar Lahem Levnei Yisrael, Ma Shetoli Be'Esak HaChur Ben Ha'gula, Anochi Levadi Ese Zois. I can't do it. I can't do it. If the issue of the galus is ben olam chavero, I can't. Your quarrels, right? Your rivchem, that I can't do for you. You got to do it. You have to fix up the situation, and you have to go ahead and excel in ben olam chavero, and that will bring the gula bezus Hashem. One more anecdote to mention, and that is the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Ches discusses the story about the apprentice, the carpenter apprentice, that because of his deceit in his heart, he came up with different ways to convince his master, his mentor, to divorce his wife. And when he came to ask, how could I pay Ksuba? And the Talmud said, the apprentice said, no problem, I'll lend you the money. So the guy got up and he divorced his wife. And what did the apprentice do? He went and he married his mentor's wife, ex-wife. And then when it came time to pay the loan, and he didn't have any money, so the Talmud, the apprentice said, come, you know, work for me. And the Talmud, the apprentice, and his wife, they were sitting and eating and drinking. And the original husband was there, and he was serving his apprentice, which obviously was very belittling, and his ex-wife. And he was crying, and so much so that his tears fell in their cups. And this is the Gemara about Oysa Shon Nechtam Gzardin. That's where the Gzardin came from. Now, this is a very striking story because L'Chayra says from Ma'alach Binra, I think he says from the Yavit. It's from the Yavit. He says, I don't understand. Did the apprentice do anything wrong? right? Let's assume that the mentor was having issues at home, and the apprentice was being a nice guy. He said, "Listen, you know, you can get out of it. Just divorce your wife." And he was being a nice guy. He lent him the money. There's nothing on the surface that he did that was wrong, but Lamaisa says the Yavitz that there's a certain element of mahu rachum v'chanun afator rachum v'chanun. Did he go against anything in the Torah? Absolutely not. He didn't violate anything in the Torah. But is he rachum? Was he chanun? Absolutely not. Did he show mercy? No. It was something much more subtle. And basically, Ramayel Biederman, I think this is his part, he was asking, why is it that Dafka on the day of Tisha B'Av, we're supposed to enhance our Bina L'Chavera, we're supposed to enhance our Limud HaTorah, are we not supposed to say hello to people, and we're not supposed to learn Torah? So he wanted to say, I think this is him talking. Actually, I'm sorry, maybe it's Yoris Dvash. I think he's quoting the Yaros Dvash. He says like this. So even though all days of the year we say hello to people and all days of the year we learn, do we understand the chashivas of speaking to somebody? Do we understand the chashivas of our Limud HaTorah? And the answer is probably not. And that's the whole point of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was supposed to realize, you know what, take a step back. Think, what does it mean to say hello to somebody? What does it mean to be involved in Beinam L'Chavero? And when you think about it, then it could have the opposite effect, right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to abstain from saying hello, because then we'll come back to saying hello afterwards. For people who care about other people, it's hard for them. And they realize, you know what, I can't do it. I'm not going to take it for granted anymore that I'm able to say hello to my friend in my Benon L'Chavera. The same thing with Limud HaTorah. If we go ahead and we say, listen, you can't learn today, because maybe we're not learning for the right reasons. But when we come back and say, you know, why were we not able to learn that day? Because of the destruction, it'll help us to mechazik ourselves. And this fixes up the Avera, because deep down inside, are we doing it for the right reasons? This young man, the apprentice, right? He didn't care about his mentor. He ruined his life, mamish. So we have to get to the core of who we are and what our intentions are. And that's what led to destruction. And which means we really have to get in tune with our intentions. And by restraining ourselves from saying hello to people, and by restraining ourselves from learning Limud HaTorah, we sort of debase things and get back to the basics and try to really introspect and realize, what are we doing it for? We don't just say hi because we want to have friends. We don't stop learning Torah. If that's the case, we should do it every day. Stop learning Torah as an intellectual pursuit. No. The whole point of our Ben El Chavero and our learning is to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to connect to ourselves, to make sure we're on the right path. So to put everything all together, starting with the idea that Shabbos Chazon, the idea that we're not just in destruction, we're not in just despair. We have a vision, we have a future, but that future can only come alive if we go ahead and get to the core of the issues. We have to understand that we're soldiers in Hashem's army, we're employees in Hashem's company, and all we want is to bring back Kavod Shemayim, to bring the Geulah Shemayim, you know, and that will only happen if we go ahead and realize that we're obligated to like that other mashal, make sure we're ready to handle the Beis HaMikdash, to make sure we have Kavod Beis HaKnesses, Kavod Beis HaMedrash, and Kavod L'Brin HaMachavero, and then Be'ez Hashem, even though we sinned internally, if we fix ourselves internally, we'll be zochah to see the Geulah Shemayim. Have a great Shabbos, and may Tisha B'Av become a Yom Tov ASAP.